I'm going to read something, but if you want to go to Proverbs 21, verses 1 through 4, I'm going to read that passage of Scripture this past, I think it was not this past week, the week before, I believe. That was our daily reading, Proverbs 21. And so if you'll go to Proverbs 21, verses 1 through 4. But I wanted to share, because the title of this teaching tonight is At the Center. At the center of our lives should be Jesus. It should be Jesus. It shouldn't be what letters are in front of your name or behind your name. It shouldn't be, you know, what side of the tracks you live on, how much money you make. That shouldn't define you. What should define you is who lives inside of you, Jesus. And I want to read just a couple of these lyrics, and you can thank the Lord later for me not singing them. But it's a song that we sing, Jesus be, you know, Jesus at the center. And so it says, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Yes, Jesus, you. So it's a very touching song, and we get to sing that and from time to time. But a very, you know, true song, and that we can make that song a prayer of our life. Because you might say, well, you know what? Really, Pastor, Jesus really hasn't been the center of my life this week. Well, then pray. Like Shannon said this morning, we can start today. Say, Lord, forgive me, but Lord, I pray that you would be, and then dot, 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 fill in the blank of where he's missing. If he's not, anybody ever, if I can get a volunteer here, two volunteers, let me get a teenager, and come on. Well, you got to ask your mom and dad, can he partake of some sugary substance? Okay. All right, you have a seat right there. All right. And Lydia, I would choose you, but you already know which one is which. So let me get Noah. We'll have brothers against brother here. All right. And so I know my back's to the camera, but I'm sorry. So let me go up here real quick. So that'll be your placemat slash plate. And I'm not sure how many of you have ever gone to this happened to me recently. I went to a I won't name fast food restaurant. And I ordered something, and you go home and you find out you're missing stuff, okay? I've said this recently, and of course, you're probably thinking, man, Pastor, you need to stay away from fast food. But I do. But anyway, you find out that you're missing stuff. And so how many of you have ever gone to a restaurant and you're missing, you know, you might have asked for a baked potato and they gave you sweet potato, or vice versa. You know, they made a, you know, they made a, you know, an honest mistake. Anybody can make mistakes. And so I'm just putting gloves on just so that I can so that I'm not touching something that you are. Now, I don't remember what Lydia told me, which one is which, but there is, let's see, we'll have that one there. And then this one, we'll give that one to you. So I'm not sure. I think I might be right or wrong. They might be filled. They may not. And so, but without your hands, without your hands, it's going to get a little messy, okay? Without your hands, I'd like for you to find out what's at the center of the donuts. Wait. You guys ready? So at the count of three, it's not a race, so it doesn't have to be, you have to, it's not a race. It's not a race. It's a race. They're brothers. They're brothers. It's a race. Okay, so at the count of three, all right. So, ready? One, two. Now, the intro. Wait. I said at the count of three. I have to say three. So, they're very excited at what's at the center. Okay? Jesus ought to be the center of our life. Other people ought to be excited because they see him in us. We ought to be excited because we know who should be and who is inside of us that we can share with him. And so I'm going to read a couple of, in a little bit, some scriptures of some Christians that went to a certain place and Jesus was evident by their lives. And so here we're going to find out. You guys are going to find out what's in the inside, and of course, you're excited. So you ready? A count of three, right? One, two, three. Cream. You got anything in there? Nope. No? All right. Well, you can, are you sure? There's nothing in there? Oh, man. There's nothing. He's got cream and you got nothing. So the moral to this is that it worked out pretty well. Is that, were you excited that there was nothing in there? Are you just excited that there was, you wanted something in there, right? Do you like these kind of donuts with stuff on the inside?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I went to a fast food place and I ordered a cinnamon apple pie, and I kid you not, there might have been two small pieces of apple inside this pie. I got the pie reject. Okay. And I was like, man, and it's still, you know, crunchy on the outside and cinnamon, but I ordered an apple pie. If you want an apple pie, you want apple on the inside. Someone can say, well, what are you complaining? You got two small. Yeah, but two small pieces of apple in an apple pie is not enough. All right, so you guys can take that with you and don't eat it. Don't eat it in church. Save it. If your parents let you eat it in church, you can. But if not, then wait. All right, so let's go to Proverbs 21, verses 1 through 4. New King James Version. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I'm going to read that again. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A haughty look, a proud heart. None of you have ever felt have ever had that happen, right? Okay, so a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. Lord, we thank you for your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit gives us revelation, Lord, that we would be able to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, what great scripture to hold on to. I encourage you to do your best to memorize all of it or some of it. But this is a prayer that, this is a scripture that we've used as a prayer in important decisions that we make. Lord, we're going to make this decision and we ask you for favor that you, Lord, the heart of the people that are going to make the final decision, we pray that their heart is in your hands. And Lord, you can turn it whichever way. And Lord, so we just, I mean, we've presented to the Lord this verse when we make important decisions or that when we need wisdom. Because even in verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. I mean, that's true. And sometimes you probably experienced this not too recently, where you thought a certain way was the best way. I've always heard that phrase, if you want to make God laugh, share with him your plans. Because it seems right to you. This is the right way to do it. But when you present it to God, he ends up showing you that's not the right way most of the time. And it says, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And so a great scripture to hold on to and to pray. But making sure that you or we don't move ahead of God. It's important because we need to understand that it may seem right to me as I'm looking at a situation, but I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of people looking at different situations right now, especially with the COVID, the loss of jobs and people being laid off or the possibility of being laid off. And if you look at that situation, it could be doom and gloom, right? But if you're able to say, Lord, you can, I pray for me to have this job, or Lord, I lost a job, but I got to find another job. Lord, I pray for your direction. And we can ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see what you see. This is something I try to apply whenever I go into a store and someone has an attitude. I try to remind myself, I have no idea what's going on behind the front door of their home. So therefore, whatever they're giving me, whatever crazy look they're giving me, I gotta not see it with my eyes. Because a lot of times we try to justify things by how we feel. And what, someone just gave me a dirty look. We used to call that mad. Why are you mad dogging me, S.A.? You know, we used to say that. I mean, the fact that people would look at us with a dirty look and we're like, what did I do? You know, what's wrong with you? You know, but we try to justify. We try to find justice when we're really supposed to say, Lord, what's really going on here? There is something afoot. There is something going on here that I don't see, but God, you do. And so we have to remind ourselves. You see, verse 2, it says that the Lord weighs the hearts. In the King James, it says ponders the hearts. That Hebrew word is tokan. It means to regulate. God wants to balance our heart. He wants to level out our hearts. If you ever building something, or I tried, but then I accomplished it. I have a back stoop, or a stoop on the back side of my house, on the back door, and I was kind of proud of myself of completing it. I'm not sure if you put a level, would it be actually straight level, but close to it. But the Lord wants to do that to our hearts. He wants to balance our hearts. He says, hey, listen, son. Hey, listen, daughter. You might see it that way, but let me just balance it. Let me show you what's really going on. So he wants to regulate or balance or level out our hearts, because our heart, man's heart, is wicked. That's why we need Jesus to cleanse us. That's why we need his word, like Shannon said this morning, to renovate our minds, to transform us. And so his word transforms us. But this only happens if you allow the Lord to balance you. A lot of people try to have a balanced diet, try to, you know, have enough, you know, green stuff to eat to counter off the other stuff, you know. But it's a balanced diet is healthy. That's a good way to eat. Some people don't touch chocolate. Others like, well, I had two salads today. I'll have a half a candy bar. But you try to balance things out. So if we allow the Lord to balance our hearts and not allow us to see what we see and actually think that's how it is. If we just do that, then we miss out on what God's really wanting us to see. In verse 3, it says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable. I remembered in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says that to obey God is better than sacrifice. And here we find that God desires righteousness and justice. It is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, I know that with all that's going on, all this, you know, of course, I've seen a lot of people post stuff about how bad 2020 is. And then there was one that said it was a picture of Godzilla in the background of some city, and that hinting it's going to get worse. Listen, you know, we can look to the Lord, or we can look at what's going on in our world. And if we look to the Word, if we look to the Lord, we'll know that regardless of what it is, he's on our side, we're on his side, we're on the winning team, and his Spirit dwells within us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So what do we have to fear? What do we have to worry? Even when we're given instructions not to worry. But Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And if people would just, you know, if this would be someone, you know, if this would be, let's just say, if this would be your mantra or your one of your a verse that really affects and impacts your life and how you live. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, not to seek justice, but to do justly. See, those that do justly know who's the just one. And knows who's going to take care of everything, even if things aren't doing justly. If we'll just do justly. Just do righteousness. If we'll just walk in righteousness, do justly. It continues to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Now, if you act this out, I challenge you to act this out even inside your home, because that's normally where the people rubbing each other, and just pushing each other. I mean, just, you know, brothers and sisters, brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters, try to apply this to do justly, to love mercy, to give mercy, and to walk humbly instead of pointing the fingers. She did it. He did it. I didn't break that. He did. No, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I challenge you to do that in your home. It's hard to do. But that's when we have to override the flesh and say, God, this is what you'd require of us. This is what you desire, that we walk in righteousness and justice. And that's more acceptable. See, for Christ to be at the center of our lives, I'm going to touch on four things. Number one, he must be Lord. He must be Lord. Shad and I have mentioned Romans 10, 9 and 10. And if you go there real quick, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We've mentioned this a lot, but I mean, it's just so true. He needs to be Lord. And a lot of times people can say things, but it's not just words. It's actually in verse 9, speaking this out, confessing this is very important, but also that your life would follow after it. You see, if he must be Lord, that means he needs to reign in our lives so that we can become and walk like the children of obedience, the children of God, and children of obedience. So Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now let's read verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of you ever heard, you know, talk is cheap? You guys, have you heard that before? Okay. It's your life that backs it up that actually gives value and strength and value and strength to what you're saying. It gives validity to what you're saying, because you can just talk the talk, but you got to walk the talk. And so you have to apply it with your life. Without Christ as our Lord, we can't become born again. He is key. When we confess that Jesus is our Lord, that word Lord in the Greek is kurios, means supreme authority, not just on Sundays, not just on religious holidays. I got some relatives that they do that on religious, you know, of course, I've kind of joked about it, that even growing up, it was like Christmas and Easter. You know, if it wasn't our mom forcing us to go, if she didn't force us, we never would have went. And when did we ever go? Christmas and Easter. And so it's not just on religious holidays. It's every day that he's my supreme authority. And my second point is that for Christ to be at the center of our lives, his words and character needs to be evident in us, needs to be seen. Now, I remember growing up, there was, I'm not going to say his name. I'm not even sure if he's watching, but if he is, I hope he loves Jesus and he's serving Jesus. But there's this kid that would spray there's too much cologne. There's enough cologne and there's too much cologne. All right. And of course, back in the day, Polo was really famous. And so he would always spray a lot of Polo cologne. And so you didn't have to actually see him with the bottle of cologne. You could just smell the cologne. Okay. We need to be like that as believers in Christ, that people see us, that people see Christ's words evident in our lives and his character evident in our lives. You see, because who we're connected to flows out of us. I'm having some plumbing problems. I hope what I did the trick, and I'm you know twisting my finger, my crossing my fingers, hoping that what I did was we're not going to have any other altercations. But in those pipes, everything's supposed to go out, water's supposed to flush out. Jesus being the center, he needs to flow out of us. He needs to be seen and evident and heard. And so Matthew chapter 15. Verses 1 through 5. Now, I think Shannon was reading verse 5 a couple weeks ago, or she referenced verse 5, where it says that Jesus says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." But I want us to go to verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true grapevine." Now, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him why grapevine, why not some other vine? But this is his words. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener." There is no other true grapevine that we need to be connected to. There is no other gardener that we need to look to tend to us, to speak to us, to change us, to mold us, to make us. Because that's really what a gardener does. It was amazing when I first found out how tomato plants get so high, because people put these plastic things around them so that as they grow, they grow. I thought that was amazing. But the person that puts that, if you plant some tomatoes in tomato plant, if you just plant it in some bucket, it's just going to go over the bucket, right? But you got to put something up, some kind of, I'm not a gardener, but you got to put something to where it doesn't just fall over. And so God being our Father and the main gardener, he's the only one. There is no other. God is about sowing into our lives, not into dirt. So when Jesus says, "I am the true grapevine," it's not that Jesus loves grapes. It's the fact that he is the one that gives us life. He's our source. And so that's why when he said, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce not a little fruit." I like this too. Not a little fruit, much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, as I mentioned earlier, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, Paul encouraged some believers in Corinth to be what he calls living epistles. Now, I know that's a weird word. It means living letters, Messages that are alive, messages that breathe, messages that are actually not just read, but seen and heard. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3, it says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Holy Spirit, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of our, it's not that we're all of that in a bag of chips. It's not that we're all that, but the fact that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Look, I don't have the source. I don't have the power. I don't have the words of life. Jesus does, and that's who I give to you. That's what I'm given. And so as he was encouraging these believers, look, you are being living letters and messages to the world. We have a part to play in this, but it's not me. It's through the Holy Spirit. Our sufficiency is of God. It's through God and his Holy Spirit. Verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is why we need to allow the Spirit of the living God to lead us and guide us. To lead us and guide us as we speak, as we act, as we tweet, as we post. That the Spirit of the living God leads us. That what we say is what God the Father would want us to say. Our gardener is what Jesus, the true vine, would want us to say. Because whoever we're connected to, that is what's supposed to flow out of us. Amen? And so our words, our character, and living being impacted and resembling those of Christ. Point three, his lifestyle is our life model. At one time I tried to, but I found out that certain stores don't want to do this. I tried to get a mannequin from Belk's one day and try to bring it for, I was going to take it to the Rock, but I found out those stores, they don't give away mannequins. So it was a difficult thing. But when you look at a mannequin, of course, at a store, they put clothes on it to try to sell you the mannequin? No. To sell you the clothes. The mannequin's just there as a model. We ought to be a model not revealing ourselves, but revealing Jesus. And so our lifestyle is a life model that we would model Jesus. Do people see Jesus in you? Do people see Jesus's character? Do people see and hear his words coming from you? Now see, the 12 disciples and the early church martyrs, you could say that they did their best to model their life for Christ. Why? Because they were martyred for being followers of Jesus. They were martyred for not standing or for standing on Jesus's words and his lifestyle and not refuting or going back on that. They were martyred for their faith. So I would say they were great models of Jesus Christ. Because if at any time they weren't, well, what was the point of killing them? What was the point of taking their lives? What was the point of them giving their lives? And that holds a lot of truth and validity in that why would they give of themselves for somebody they really didn't believe in? They gave their life for the one who died for them. Amen. So some would say that to their that these martyrs, it was, I mean, that their doom, they failed. They would probably say it was an honor to die for Christ, my King. It was an honor to die. To give my life because I would not back away from Christianity. You see, our lives here on earth are an equivalent to, I won't just say this, I didn't read it and find out anywhere. I haven't been on the other side in eternity, so I don't really know, but I'm just going to say our lives here on earth is just but a blink in eternity. Maybe half of a blink, you know, half of one. You know, I don't know, I'm not sure how you can half a blink, but our lives here on earth is an equivalent to just a blink in eternity. But therefore, how we live here impacts our eternal destination of where we're going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. And so our life is important that we would model the life of Christ. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. I wanted to share verse 26, but I kind of felt that in sharing 26... kind of takes away with something that you might not have heard or it might have just passed by you. You might not have seen it before, But verse 19, it says, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. Now, you remember who was there watching when Stephen died? It was Saul, but God changed his name to Paul. All right. So there were believers who were scattered after the persecution that arose after Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the gospel to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, the Hellenists, I mean, they just believed in other things. But these people who were scattered because of the persecution brought the gospel to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A lot of people got saved. People came to know Jesus Christ. Verse 22, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them. Keep going, keep doing, keep sharing Jesus. Encourage them all that with the purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, meaning Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to look for Saul, who then became Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church in Antioch now, with the church, and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They were called Christians because they looked like Christ. They sounded like Christ. They acted like Christ. Their life was modeled after Christ. That's why they were called or considered Christians, Christ-like. That's why I think sometimes people forget the true meaning of what Christian is. What Christianity? You ask a lot of people, are you a Christian? Are there any Christians in the house today? And a lot of people would raise their hand because they believe that there's Christ, that maybe because they said a prayer a long time ago. Hopefully it's because Christ is at the center of their life, and he is evident, he is seen, and he is heard, and their lifestyle proves to be so. And this is what happened. They were known as Christians in Antioch. Listen, wherever you work, I hope that you are known as a Christian. When I worked at White Oak Plantation, I got a lot of flack, especially one day. I shared a story before, real quick. I got a lot of flack because I put tracks on people's front windshield. All I did was pick up. You know, I didn't break any windshield wiper. I just picked up a windshield wiper and slide the track. I mean, you would think I got my keys and I keyed their vehicle. They got so angry. But I knew it was the Holy Spirit convicting them. I knew that's what it was. But they got so angry about that. So wherever you go, wherever you shop, I hope you're known as a Christian. I hope your CPA knows you're a Christian. I hope your bank people know that you're a Christian. I hope the people that wait on you, your servers, they know you as a Christian. I mean, you see, some of this, I think the Christianity thing can be downplayed, and we forget the true meaning. These people were known as Christians because they modeled Christ. They didn't just speak about Christ on the Sabbath. Wherever they went, they modeled Christ. Listen, I challenge all of us, all of us, to prepare now if you haven't already, that your life follows the model that God gave us, his son, Jesus Christ. Many people have a lot to say, especially during this time, and we're approaching a political season to vote. Many people are having a lot to say and to express what they believe or feel. Emotions, man, they're running rampant. And you know what? You stick around a certain person for a while, you'll be able to see if their words truly match how they live. If they truly match how they live. And if it does, that brings, like I said before, that brings value to what they say. If it doesn't, then you know what they say. They're just talking the talk. Jesus didn't have this problem, thank God. He didn't have this problem. He didn't have a problem with living up to what he taught. He didn't have a problem with living up to what he said. He didn't have a problem with living up to what was gonna happen because he was true to what he said. My last is that his purpose in life. If we want Jesus to be at the center of our life, his purpose needs to be in our life. We find this clear indication of who Jesus is. John chapter 1, verses 1. I'm not going to read verses 1 through 14. I'm going to jump around, but I highlighted some, or I underlined some parts of Scripture in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. I underlined that. And the Word was God. I underlined that. And the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in darkness. But darkness couldn't comprehend it. Why? Because they're in darkness. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend this light. Verse 7, there was a man who came as a witness. To bear witness of this capital L light. Listen, if your Bible doesn't have a capital L, it's not illegal. Just go ahead and put a capital L right there. That's Jesus, okay? We're talking about Jesus here. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, that's Jesus. So it says, talking about John the Baptist here, who was a witness to bear witness of the light. Verse 9, the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, the world was made through him. The world did not know him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, thank you, Jesus, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word, capital W, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of all the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, he lived up to who he was. He lived up to who he to what he said, and he lived up to the promises that God gave us. The fact that he had purpose, therefore he fulfilled it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says that Jesus, talking about Jesus, how he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everyone say Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, that at the name and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus didn't have a problem with modeling this. He didn't have a problem with his life not matching his words. He did. He was obedient to the Father. He was obedient all the way to the cross. And so that is the model that we have to demonstrate. And I know that it's not easy, because the flesh wants to is fighting against what the Spirit desires. Listen, people. Thank you, Father. Jesus being the one who is at the center of our lives. For it is he who saved us. It is he who changes us, changes us, and makes us to become the children of God. So when we have gone through this whole month of what's at the core of faith, I just wanted to finish off that Jesus ought to be at the core of your faith. He ought to be at the core of your life, and that there's anything else at the center of your life, at the center of your faith, if there's anything else other than Jesus, that's got to go out. It has to be Jesus. It should be Jesus. Father, I thank you. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to reveal your truth and your word to each and every single one of us. Lord, that in a moment, especially like our time today, that Jesus would be seen and heard from every Christian, from every believer, because we are to model you, Lord. We are to model you, Jesus. So I pray, Father, that you help us as individuals and as a church, Lord, that we would be known as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, not people who are stuck on themselves, not people who talk one way but walk another. But Father, I pray that you will help us to apply your word, Lord, that people would see Jesus in us, that people would hear Jesus from us, that we would be known to be your followers, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.